Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Jackie.
Hi, darling. Another interesting show tonight, The Shadow Continues, Healing Emotional Addictions. Tonight we discuss emotional addictions and ways to heal them. Emotional addictions are literally in the cells. We can make powerful breakthroughs to emotional freedom. We address the question, are emotional addictions different than physical addictions? The answers will fascinate you. So we have some really interesting material for tonight. And as always, I'm the guinea pig. I don't think I'm the only guinea pig. I just happen to be the only one that I'm whose life I'm living at the moment that I'm aware of. And as always, we have some wonderful emails from all of you. We certainly love you all, and thank you so much for sending these and for your support. So let's begin. These are around last week's show, which was Paradox to Paradise. Jackie, between my session this afternoon and the radio show, I feel like I'm flying. You and Ronnie did a beautiful job of getting very important information out for all of us. When I fall asleep tonight, I will feel very loved, safe, and secure. I plan on drawing on my magic and take this resonance out into the world tomorrow. Love you dearly. My deepest gratitude to you and the team, and, of course, love, love, love. Jackie, you and Veronica were so powerful tonight in this broadcast. Wow. Don't ever question the fact that you're making a positive difference, an incredible difference in the world. Ever since I did the power retrieval concerning my stepmother, and whenever I listen to the tape, I see how there's been a shift with certain people I work with. They can be as mean as they want. I don't budge. In fact, I don't even care if they're unhappy because they no longer push my buttons. Then there are people out there that I thought I knew, but evidently I didn't. And for those of you listening for the first time tonight, power retrievals are something that we do during session that are really powerful. This is reclaiming your power from people in your lives. And it's done at a very deep cellular level. She goes on to say, one person in question is a fellow I was very strongly attracted to and vice versa. We both a while back decided it's not a good idea to start anything up, but the other day he hit me with a comment, well, maybe you can do something for me sexually just to please me and not yourself. Huh. That took me by surprise. He wanted me to do this in 5 minutes. Here I thought this was a nice person till I heard that. I had said to him previously, I wish things could have been different for us, but then he hit me with that comment. Wow, I was taken back. It hurt my feelings, and now I really don't care to talk to him at all. What was that? Someone trying to take my power or what? And my initial comment before we finish the email is, time to look at old relationships. And let's do some power retrievals with people who've been in your life where you feel that you've been used. I think we've already done Dad on this one, but this really has an awful lot to do with the male-female relationships. And, you know, we're seeing it every day. I know you are too, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was this guy was a friend till that. I find my relationships with people I work with are changing. I know I'm a little more sensitive, but it feels like the picture is coming through clearer than usual, and the color is almost too bright for my eyes. Is this normal?
I experience that a lot, too.
What?
I experience that a fair amount lately.
Yes, and the answer is yes, it is, darling. The clarity that we're all coming to, and that's the goal certainly for all of us, is to be able to finally see the dream or the drama for what it really is a playing out of all of our beliefs and all of our damage and all the places that we've left power. And as we start clearing all of that and reclaiming it, we're able to see things so clearly, and they come to us. It changes our resonance, and then our experience changes. you spoke of what of resonating what we want for the world. I do well when I'm at home, but when I'm at work, I feel like I have a few challenges going on. Please give me your thoughts. Ronnie, you want to comment on that?
Well, out of the blue, let's see. I feel like that it is really interesting that when I went through a bunch of power retrievals with siblings and people like that, I got absolutely blindsided and brought back into the same feeling by talking to someone else all of a sudden. So it sort of recurred. I don't know if this is even relevant, except it really...
Yeah, it is relevant. Go ahead.
It startled me how it cycled back in, and I realized I had a little more, if not a lot more, power retrieving to do if we're going to use that system, you know?
Right.
That you're not totally without magnetic pieces, you know? Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Almost more vulnerable to some of the bits and pieces that are left behind when you go out into the world. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
And I want to say this for people that, again, that are experiencing the power of retrievals with us. It takes a couple of months for these to integrate. And so you're going to find that you are hypersensitive. What we've also seen is that there are times when we have to circle back, and sometimes we have to do a parent 2-3 times. I can tell you from my own experience, I've had to do them many times.
Hmm.
And every time I've gone back, I've gotten a whole new level. Until ultimately, the ultimate goal, I mean, you know you're there when you finally do the power retrieval with someone, as we experienced with somebody a couple of weeks ago. And this was a very powerful experience. It was an ex-husband, someone that they loved very much, and the relationship could not work. It created a lot of shame and pain. And during session, they had told her, you need to go back and do this one again. And when she called in, she said, well, I really feel like I'm clear with it. And they said, no, we don't think so. We'd like to try this one more time. And when she did, this one was so incredibly beautiful. And this being, the expanded being that they really are, was holding so much power for her, waiting to gift her with it. It was no longer a matter of taking back power that you had left or given away or had been stripped. This was a gifting of power, and it was absolutely exquisite. And that's when we know that we've actually come to that clarity. The unweaving is completely done, and you can come to that level. That's the ultimate as far as I'm concerned. So I still, you know, it goes back to mom and dad. We just project mom and dad on everything else from there. Because mom and dad are God and goddess. We're still healing the whole concept of feeling separate, and also the whole planetary issues of all the damage of being separated from the goddess many thousands of years ago, and, you know, God being used like a hammer on us.
Mm-hmm.
For thousands of years. Everything in the name of God. And all the anger and rage that we carry as a result of that. Which segues us into the next email. It's funny you said to be neutral, because that's what I told myself. So today on the subway, I sat next to a woman and we talked about fear and life. It was wonderful, and the energy I felt was amazing before she got off. She said, God bless you, and I said it back for the first time in my life. But I did have a little hesitation. But I said it, and it felt wonderful. I think the hesitation was for a long time I had anger and hate towards the church's way of God. And then I said to myself, God is in all of us. And sorry. God is in all of us.
That was God.
Yeah. Good one, Ronnie. And people see him. Oh, God, that was a good one. I just lost my place. see, wait a minute.
People
I said
God
all of us will see him differently, and it was so wonderful. And before getting on the train, people were looking strangely at me. I don't know why, but I just embraced it. But I feel differently than I am, like I am a woman, and I feel such great power, and I feel like I'm flying. Oh, I also, for the first time in a long time, I feel like I can wear red lipstick. I just woke up and said, I'm gonna wear it, and it's been a long time since I wore it.
She reminds me, I didn't put my lipstick on tonight.
Well, yeah. Oh, you're kidding.
No, I better get going here.
Okay. Another one. Thank you for another brilliant radio show. I've re-listened to the last two shows as well. They are so full of love, support, inspiration. They give me hope for a brighter reality, a light at the end of the tunnel. And a special treat for everybody. This is our favorite writer. Dear Jackie and Ronnie, a few days ago I was working out at home on my elliptical machine watching the ever-boring TV. Over 800 channels, HD, and not a program worth watching. That is a paradox. This particular morning I was tuned in to the Today Show. It passes the time and makes me less aware of sweating. I was watching reports about civil rights, Hurricane Dean, and cooking Italian food. The food part I definitely liked. Yum. And when the drivel of commercials interrupts the program, I typically switch to my MP3 player and listen to music. As the show went on, it seemed the commercials were clearly more frequent and repetitive. Didn't I just see that same ad for Jenny Craig? I glanced down at my Buddha belly and promptly turned on my MP3. What happened next was really profound for me. The song Deja Vu by Crosby, Stills, and Nash played, and I felt an overwhelming sense of grief and sadness. We have, quote, "We have all been here before, we have all been here before," was the line that triggered me to recalling what Jackie talked about last week in our connection to Atlantis. It was as if I was enveloped in my own private hurricane with rain pouring from my eyes and the intense emotions swirling about. Was this a Category 4 storm of my cellular memories of past lifetimes? I wondered. And I was truly in a neutral state minutes before this song. Weird. I am noticing that I am responding in a completely different way to just about everything. And I know all my senses are heightened since doing the power retrievals and chakra sessions with Jackie and the team. Situations I experience currently are now felt in a visceral way, too. Perhaps this is a new level of living organically. Am I really reacting to what is happening in the now moment, or is it a release of very old stuff? Probably both. Anyway, before I finished my workout, I tuned in to another song, and this time I heard Truckin' by the Grateful Dead, and the recurring line, "What a long, strange trip it's been." I giggled. I knew you'd appreciate this because you relate to music. I giggled and thought, so true, so incredibly true. And then I marveled that minutes prior I was crying tears of sorrow, and now I was smiling and laughing in delight. Is anyone else experiencing these episodes of borderline bipolar disorder? I think I remember the team and Jackie saying something about higher highs and lower lows for the star seeds, but this was the quickest turnover of emotions I've ever had. Maybe it was really about my Buddha belly after all. The pooch does make me feel sad and annoyed sometimes. Now, again, folks, for those of you, the team refers to the Buddha belly. This is where the ascension chakra is, and that so many of us have got this, and they call it the pooch. And in doing the chakra activations, when you activate this chakra between second and third, oftentimes, essentially what it is a doorway giving birth to a whole new set of chakras. It is, and we have one woman who works with this ascension chakra with Metatron and is crossing over a lot of animals that are crossing over or a lot of species that are becoming extinct. And as Metatron has told her it's a one way. You know, it's a way. She's wanted to go through, and Metatron has said, no, it's one way. So oftentimes when you activate chakras, what will happen is the Buddha belly, the pooch just below the waistline, will puff up for about an hour and a half. It will go back down, but it does feel like you're giving birth. So another lovely gift.
Bulging with consciousness.
That's it. The pooch does make me feel sad and annoyed sometimes. I'm just grateful for low-rise jeans because I know that I would never be able to tuck in my Buddha belly to any article of clothing that buttoned at my waistline. Where is my waistline? I do recall seeing it before the ascension. I'm convinced the higher realms channeled the low-rise fad to designers so we could potentially cope with our ever-changing bodies.
Well, it is a deja vu back to the 60s, isn't it?
Right. Perhaps when jeans climb on back to the area of our original waist, we will know our pooches are a thing of the past and we have successfully birthed the new earth. Yippee. The gratefully alive. Thank you, Squirrel. As always, Squirrel, again, for those tuning in for the first time, writes every week a little dissertation on the shows, and she's a brilliant writer. We encourage her constantly to write a book. Last week, and this is still our last email here, I think. Yeah, it is. Last week, I read something from a friend and somebody you know, Ronnie, about the financial markets. And she's very involved in the financial markets. It was a call to all magicians for help to turn the markets around. The next morning, Friday morning, there was an announcement from the feds, and I'm going to read this to you. This is what I got the following morning. It's working. The Fed cut the discount rate this morning. This is the rate at which banks can borrow from Federal Reserve. It is often thought to be symbolic, and in this case is likely the beginning of additional rate cuts. The important thing is that the Fed acknowledged they weren't going to let the market continue to unravel. Unlike their statement a week ago, where they barely acknowledged the turmoil. And just in the nick of time, as yesterday was a total, well, I can't quote her on the air. The worst day by far, with prices falling without any floor in sight and tons of headlines of more liquidations and companies shutting down. Today, as a result of this move, there is a whole different tone and energy. I know the tide just changed. There is still a ton of headlines to appear that may not seem great, but I believe we just reversed course. In addition to seeing things improve from here, a good place to work magic is to mitigate the potential impact of what has occurred so far. This includes mortgage lending operations starting to lend again so that housing prices remain stable and the economy is not disrupted. Thank you again so much for caring and for your magic and for your beautiful heart. I will continue to post you on the good things that are coming to report.
Wonderful.
Now, based on this, and Ronnie, you and I have talked about this as well, I would like to dedicate every week to something. As we are all linked together in cyberspace with this radio show, this wonderful vehicle, we can lend our magic together. Now, you know, we've said many times that the healing energies are coming right into your home when you're listening to these shows. But now it's time for us to also link together. And all of those on the other side of the veil have said, if you create a purpose, we will join with you. So tonight, what I would like to do is dedicate tonight's show to the continued turn in the financial market. Now, I want to say this. Regardless of what you may read out there, we do not have to experience that reality. Our worlds are splitting apart. So we are creating a new outcome. And it's important that we now step into our power, regardless of where we are in our own personal evolution, knowing that you have the ability to make a difference. When I saw this happen last week, there was no question in my mind. I've talked to a couple of people who all agreed we need to do this together. So tonight I'd like to dedicate the show to continually turning around the financial markets and also to the people ravaged by the earthquake in Peru.
So be it.
I'm sorry?
I said, and so be it.
Yes. And so just, you know, for all of you listening tonight, if you can just hold that energy and know that you're surrounded by your own guides, teachers, angels, higher self, soul, spirit, and all of those wonderful beings who are participating from the other side of the veil, excited, very excited to work with you as well. So in essence, what we're doing is creating our own collective and making changes from that collective. And I think that this is really powerful and an important thing for us all to do. So let's get on with tonight's show, which is emotional addictions. This show is very personal for me. Not only do I see so much in work, and Ronnie, I know you do too in all your sessions that you do, but I have a son that some of you know who I adore, and he is struggling with physical addiction right now. I also have a grandson that's struggling with physical addiction. In dealing with that, I've had to deal with my own emotional addictions to the outcomes for both of them. And not only for those two, but also for other friends that I have who are struggling in their own emotional addictions and watching them go through tremendous life changes as a result. I don't think there's anybody listening tonight that isn't dealing with some form of emotional addiction. I can only tell my own story, and that's that my son was missing for weeks. I had a good feeling of where he was. Unfortunately, I was concerned about what he was doing. I knew that he was holed up somewhere and doing prescription drugs, probably gambling, and if he was gambling, that meant that he had borrowed money from less than... what's the word I want, Ronnie?
Benevolent, kind.
Yeah, thank you.
Generous.
People.
Lovable.
Right, who, in order to extract the money that they want, take extreme measures. And I really felt that this was an opportunity for me to really look at a very deep level, a lifetime with my son and my concerns about him. It's been very difficult for him to be on the planet. I've known that since he was little. And I've always had concerns about him, hence the emotional addiction. And my son is incredibly sensitive. He's also gay. He has very angelic energy, but he has been caught up in physical addiction for probably 20 years. So I worked with it, and I kept saying to my, I mean, there was obviously great concern on my part. It was gut-wrenching for me. And I just kept flooding him with love. And for those of you who have been listening, you know, I'm power walking now twice a day. So I was doing 2 miles every morning and every night. And the whole time I would be doing it, I would just keep flooding him with love and flooding him with love without any outcome, just flooding him with love. Now, trust me when I say this, I have struggled with this one. This has not been easy. Just because I do the work I do doesn't mean that I get a free pass on life.
It's almost the opposite.
Yeah, yes, thank you very much.
If we're going to talk about it, we're going to put you through it.
Well, you know, I think, and Ronnie, too, we, as star beings, none of us chose an easy path. At least if somebody did, let me know.
We chose paths of power retrieval.
Yes, evidently. Well, we needed to be the inspirers, and so I think some of us were a little overzealous.
You never know. You know, it just is. You can handle it. It's wonderful.
Well, I think we all can ultimately, but it certainly is challenging. And so in addition to my own son, my grandson was arrested this week, and that was heartbreaking as well. And he has also been involved in physical addiction and had emotional problems most of his life. So I now had both of them, and I did another power retrieval with my son a couple of days ago. And I did it up on the healing table, and I have to get on there every day in between sessions. And it was so deep, and when I got to the heart chakra, I knew it hit. I mean, I knew it hit, and it was very difficult for me to disconnect from him. And I knew I was doing this for him as well as for myself.
And what you're meaning is you're taking back the whole self from your interaction or enmeshment with him?
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Because I think that the codependence has been there for a very long time. I mean, we are incredibly bonded, but I needed to set him free, and I needed to set myself free. And I went to Whole Foods that evening, and I was just feeling physically ill about what had happened with my grandson. And when I got home, I mean, it literally was kind of affecting me thinking about his situation. I had a phone call that my son had surfaced back up with his father. And I was incredibly grateful, and I, you know, sat down and figured it out from the time that we did the power retrieval, how long it would have taken him to drive to where his father lives. And it was exactly in that time frame.
Excellent. This is good news for everyone.
Well, again, I think it's, you know, is it over? Is the real issue here is that I have done this dance with him for so many years. And I really looked at, and also with my grandson, and I thought, well, you know, leave it to the universe to give me a double whammy so that I, and certainly my daughter as well, give me a double whammy so that I get it so clear I can't possibly miss it. And, you know, I think next week we're going to deal with the physical addiction, you know, about all the pain that we're hiding as we do this. But, you know, the question then becomes, how do we get caught up in the addiction with the emotions? And it seems to be a cycle that is very, very deep. Now, during all of this, one of my darling friends and clients, she and I have talked an awful lot about emotional addictions and how we've been looking out and seeing them, and they're certainly playing out in her experience as well and part of her healing. And she happened to go to a Lazarus Personal Interludes weekend, which is different than normal Lazarus intensive. And she took some great notes, and I talked with her on Monday, and she said, Jackie, he happened to go into the addiction during, and she'd never been to the personal interludes, and she said this was so powerful, and she had taken notes and sent me the notes. And I already knew what the show was going to be on, but when I saw this, I was like, thank you. Because I think this brings up some incredible points here. Lazarus actually talked about addiction to emotions. And so now some of these notes were taken from her perspective, but the first one was, this was regarding anger. Now this could apply to any emotion. But she says here, to recognize that her cells need anger. As you can sense it and understand it in that way, cells can become dependent on anger, so that even if you heal the anger, your body can crave and create it.
Hmm.
Now, this can be true with being emotionally undone, with worry, whether it's anger, worry, fear. I mean, Ronnie, any other emotion you want to throw in there?
Well, I was just thinking that's the whole biochemical thing that we were talking about earlier. That
exactly.
With shame as well.
Exactly. But what I thought was so fascinating is that the cells, the actual cells, needed the emotion.
Right.
And...
But that's what addiction is, isn't it? Is sort of answering those cravings that come from your intrinsic cellular or brain chemistry, you know, well, that's cellular as well.
Well, it's interesting because in, I don't know if it was down the rabbit hole, not What the Bleep, but the sequel, which is Down the Rabbit Hole. They talked about the addictions and actually showed it, you know, in a cartoon form, how the cells were craving whatever the addictive substance was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same thing. Now, does it, you know, actually begin in the brain? Well, probably. Now, Veronica, you were talking about listening to one of Lazarus's shame tapes in the car.
Right, that was just so wonderful, because even though I've heard it quite a while back, actually, it's still new information reminding me how because of shame, which is a huge emotional, I guess shame is an emotional addiction, isn't it, in a way? But anyway, it suppresses the limbic system. It suppresses aspects of your sensitivity to life. It numbs whole aspects of our being. And then it also triggers a release of endorphins, which functions sort of like morphine in the system, 48 times as strong as morphine. And it runs through the system all the time, and it needs to meet something, so it can set up addictions, physical addiction of all kinds, or even emotional, I'm sure.
Well,
in order to be balanced all the time.
Exactly. And so, you know, we know, and again, we're going to do physical addictions next week, but we know that physical addictions begin in the emotional body. So that makes absolutely perfect sense.
And what can you explain just a little thumbnail on what is the emotional body? How can we perceive it, define it?
Okay, this is a very interesting question, and we had talked about this a little earlier, and so I'm going to... It came up tonight because Ronnie and I were talking before the show, and I said, well, the ETs and all the beings that we work with on the other side of the veil... The emotional body is an anathema. It's very difficult because it's a construct. You know, you have the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, okay? And so the emotional body, though, the way it's constructed on Earth is different than it is anyplace else. In addition to that, we have this wonderful... opportunity to experience. In essence, we're running about 12 different options at all times. So all of these other realities are resonating around us, and we just step into these different alternate realities depending on where our resonance is. Our resonance, which is controlled by the emotional body. So in working with humans, it's a challenge.
Are we born with the emotional body, or is it just something we construct as we go?
I would say that we are born with it. We are born into it. I mean, it's imprinted into us while we're in the womb.
Hmm.
And, you know, plus we take on, as we move into the physical, we're taking on lineage. You know, this is all stuff we talked about during the sessions.
Hmm.
We're taking on all of the lineage that we're being born into. And all of those emotions, that collective emotion that's attached to that lineage. We're taking on the familial, okay, which is lineage on both sides, but the familial construct. And
which can actually be the emotional drives and cravings.
Correct.
And you can have them as an infant, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen this with addicted mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
But even if it's not a substance addiction, it's the emotional addiction potentially.
Emotional addiction.
Right. Yeah.
And then we have responses to, now we'll take it from this standpoint. You're dropping down into physicality.
Mm-hmm.
you're having experiences as you're dropping down into density, which are not easy. That whole experience of dropping down from this enormous being into this little tiny body.
Into a tight shoe.
Yes, is an emotional experience. And it's the one thing through therapy that we don't really see people deal with. They deal with what happens in the womb. But that experience of dropping down in density, nobody seems to work with that particular experience. And I have experienced that, so I know what it's like. Hell. And it's incredibly emotional. Because as you're dropping in, I remember from my perspective, there was a call sent out from all the beings that I love, however many years ago, doesn't matter. And as I was dropping in, I had this incredible love for humanity, and it was all around my ribcage. This huge, all the way down to my belly button. The emotion was so deep that I thought I was going to absolutely explode as I was having this experience. And then coming through that, coming in with such love, and then starting to hit all of the density and the pain and the emotions and all of the things in the collective were absolutely horrendous. Which is why a lot of babies don't want to come out of the womb. So, and back to the emotional body. You have your individual emotional body and you have the emotional body of the collective, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So you're dealing with both, and neither are easy. But in working with humans, it's very difficult because it impacts our physicality so drastically. I mean, you know, one of the big jokes with the ETs is about women and hormones, that they don't have enough, they say this with a straight face, by the way, they don't have enough beings to follow around every woman that we work with to keep her hormones balanced. I mean, you would literally have a team, you know, and an IV in your arm all the time. So, I don't know how we got into that segment, but it is important. And did that answer your question, Veronica?
Yeah, what is the emotional body? Kind of, yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Because it is a term that we bandy about, and
Well, again, to simplify it, it is the collective that you're participating in, and we're in a collective, and all those emotions. And then we have a different collective, which is your lineage, okay,
mm-hmm.
nationality, if you will, and then you have your familial collective. So you're dealing with all of these, and then you have all these potential realities that you're resonating in and out of all the time.
Hmm.
And every time you make a decision, you have another break off of that into another reality. It's so complex that our little brain, no offense, the portion that we use, is too small at this point to be able to take it all in. Part of the reason that we're going through such shift right now is we are opening up to being able to see and understand all of this. Therefore, we're going through some real physical, what feels very physical, as well as emotional shifts.
Well, I want to throw something in from yesterday. I did a power retrieval with you and the team, which was wonderful, and it was with my father, which I'm sure many of your clients and friends have gone through as well. But, you know, it's such a good example of how it's changed. It's something's happening in me. Oh, that's not news, but everything, I'm seeing myself in relationship to so many different people and situations, and it's utterly startling. Like, oh, I'm doing this. Oh, I'm feeling that. Oh, I'm emotionally addicted to this kind of response. And it's kind of like illuminated. It's like flashing at me.
That's right.
And it's just like pulling the emotional overlay or body. I'm not sure. I think it's a variety.
The name we want to use.
Yeah. It has really left me going, oh, is this what I'm doing? I think I'm going very fast, but I haven't decided what it means yet. But I think it's an interesting example of what we're talking about, with a number of ways that we are attached in the emotional body, creating emotional addictions, and you move a major piece out, and everything starts changing. Although I ate apple pie tonight, so.
I don't consider that an emotional addiction. I think that's very healthy. You know, I I'm going to talk about the Buddha, okay, because I think this is a really good, you know, there's been so much controversy as people talk about the detachment of the Buddha, and how Buddha had reached a point where he understood all things and he was just happy to sit under a tree and allow everything to be what it was and so on. And that is enlightenment. When you can reach the point where you can truly recognize that everyone in your experience is having their own experience and allow them to be there lovingly, flooding them with love, always, without judgment, that's enlightenment to me. And that means across the board. Now, I don't...
Oh, wait a minute. I want to say one thing about the Buddha before we leave him under the tree.
Yes.
Is that he had a big belly in which he transformed a lot of the people's energy, too.
Yes.
So I find that that's kind of a component of detachment that is a consuming force, which we have the capacity to do, I believe.
Okay. Squirrel, I hope you're listening to this.
Yeah, I was thinking of her when I said that. Doesn't he say that? He says that's what he uses that for.
Well, let's go on with a couple of other notes here because I want to get to the to breaking the codependency.
We have a lot to talk about, Jackie.
Yes, we do. And it is a form. The emotional addiction is a form of codependency. And it is, I can't be happy until you are. I can't be who I am until you're okay. And where we're going today, we can't do it that way any longer. If they would just get it, if they would be okay, I'll be fine. But I can't be okay until they are. Now, whether or not this is in partnership relationships, male-female, male-male, female-female, I don't care what it is.
Well, it could also be friendships and stuff, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's across the board, whether it's children, parents, siblings, friends, bosses, lovers. It is something that we are breaking a cycle. I call it the familial chain of pain because I see it as all generating back to mom and dad.
I think that's really a wonderful expression.
And we're trying to break out of that, and we're doing it a piece at a time. And what I got, you know, for me, very, very clear about is that this has been, you know, as you found the rock in your heart with your dad, this has been a brick on my heart with my son.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, again, people that know him know what an incredible being he is. Funny, charming, handsome, loving. He has pulled people out of burning planes and helped people all over the world. He's been all over the world. He's just, I've watched him. He can walk into a room and transmute energies in a moment. And yet, I see how difficult life is for him. But I also recognize my codependence with that many times he has sat on the edge of death, and I have had to do this before, where I've had to come to a point of being able to detach and love him. And he was going through withdrawal at one point in the past, and I said to him, son, please do not mistake my detachment for lack of love. And shortly thereafter, he had a relapse, and he said, Mom, remember, you're the observer. Be the observer. Don't get involved emotionally. I mean, he even fed it back to me.
Good. Wow.
You know, which... and, I mean, we have a very different relationship. At one point, he was so far gone, so much out of his mind that a good friend of mine who is a walk-in, one of the real ones, and said to me, Jackie, you need to ask him to allow a walk-in instead of wasting his body. This is someone I have a great deal of respect for. If anybody else had said it to me, I probably wouldn't have accepted it. But I sat with it for a few days, and it was the most difficult thing I ever did, was to say this to my son. So let's talk about the worry.
So did he do it?
I'm sorry?
Did he do it? He doesn't look like he did.
No. No, he snapped out of it at that point.
Hmm.
But
that might have been what it took, huh?
Well, it's
a releasing
time. Various things that have snapped him out of it at various times.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get too caught up in him, because this is really about everybody that's listening tonight. So let's talk about pulling out of the addiction and how to replace it. Even Lazarus is here, to replace whatever the addictive feeling is, whether it's anger or worry or fear or anxiety, whatever, with love. And he also recommends that you keep track daily on how you do and to develop your rapport with love. He makes a wonderful statement here, and he says, you'll find the days of not having conscious loving are those days you have more attempts at control. Control costs you love. Now, this is a biggie, people, because...
That's funny. I have a friend who says you can't be right and loving at the same time. Or you can't want to be right and you can't be loving at the same time. That's similar, I think.
Well, I think that's a really valid point.
It is. Sure resonated with me.
Being able to love enough to allow and to decide that you need to be happy is a biggie. Now, we have a role on this planet, and it is right now up to us to choose happiness. We came here to inspire. We came here to help. We came to be the bridge. If we get sidetracked, trying to control, trying to change others, we're never going to get there.
It's true.
And I see that as a side trip. I really do. I know that with my sessions, I have, if I find myself getting invested in the outcome, I have to pull away and do work on me until I can come back to the situation completely clean. Because I know, and they've told me enough times, I must be neutral. I cannot be the vehicle I came here to be if I'm anything but neutral. Now, does that mean I don't love? Absolutely not. I flood everybody with love. But for me to try to control the outcome with people, no.
Well, you said it in an interesting way, because you said love people, but there's a kind of a way of saying love which is kind of grabbing and attaching, isn't it? And there's a way that you said flood people with love, and that is not non-grabbing.
Flooding people with love is non-attached.
Yeah.
That's the one I really got this last week with my son. The more I flooded him with love, the more I felt wonderful.
Great.
I felt at peace. Instead of, because it's an easy thing to do, to invest in what are they doing? Are they getting it? Are they okay? Whether they're involved in a physical addiction or whoever it may be in your life. Codependency in relationships is the same thing. If they just get it, everything will be okay. No. If you're dependent on that person getting it, doesn't matter what it is, you're never going to get there.
So it really is an enormous paradigm shift where you're not letting yourself stay in that emotional bag that we kind of find common other people that are in the same emotional bag, right?
Right. And as he says here, to break the codependency, and this is a big one, I can't change until they do. And he says, figure out what you don't do because of and begin to do it. you know, if you don't do things for yourself, if you don't go to go shopping or, you know, exercise or enjoy a movie or anything because you're in sorrow over any situation, or if you're in anger over it or worry over it, anxiety over it, go do it. Break the cycle. Decide to be, you know, I think as parents we see this more than any other time. We tend to withhold our own joy until our children get okay. Well, trust me, that can be a long haul.
When they're 50, 60, 70, we got to live to be 150 so they can come home at 100.
Right. Now, Lazarus made a really interesting statement here about anxiety. And he recommended that people get a citrine crystal. And the reason a citrine is because citrine doesn't hold the energy.
Uh-huh.
And make it your anxiety crystal. And for 5 to 10 minutes a day, just flow all your anxiety into it. And I thought that was actually a great idea, you know, for people. If you're running anxiety and just general worry about everything, you know, am I going to be safe? Am I okay? You know, is the market going to go down? You know, will I have retirement? All these things that, trust me, people, where we're going right now, our job is to stay in the now moment. If we're in the now moment, then we don't have to invest in the outcome. We're not in the future.
But, Jackie, if we go into the now moment, can't we neutralize a lot of this?
In the now moment, we can, and then the next now moment, and the next now moment, that's the only way we can neutralize it.
Hmm.
We can't do it by going into the future anymore because the future isn't written. And that's the part I think everybody forgets. Even I forget. Not often because I give reminders constantly. They don't give me a lot of slack. But the future is not written. And he said something else really powerful, a couple of things. You have to live your life, which creates the space for them to live theirs. It doesn't mean that you'll forget them or stop caring. And, you know, we're taught in society that that's a selfish thing to do. You're supposed to worry. You're a parent or a husband or a wife or a sibling. Or a child. People over years have, I had a girlfriend whose father was in the hospital, and I chose not to go to the hospital. I was doing where I've been doing remote work most of my life anyway. And so I went to the hospital, and I don't know if you want to call it remote viewing or if I just bilocate, whatever. I felt physically there and I was working on him. And when he got out of the hospital, he was very angry at me that I didn't come to visit him, and it never occurred to me. And I said, but I did come to visit you, and I did this work, and you were wearing this gown, and I did this on you and that on you. And he never understood, and I was really devastated that he was really hurt by that. But it's such a normal way for me that I see things from a different perspective. One of my girlfriends said this morning, my grandson was being arraigned today, and she said, well, are you going to the arraignment? And I said, well, no. She said, well, why not? And I said, why would I go? Is it going to make one iota of difference if I'm there or not? I can do the work that I do from where I am. I don't need to be there and be in the midst of everyone who's in trauma and drama and you know, dip into that pool. I won't do that. Do I love him any less because I'm not there? Absolutely not. He also talks about our job as a parent, and our job as a parent is to teach children to love themselves. And, you know, he says it, and I love this one. You do that by doing that yourself. And if you're not loving you, you're not teaching anybody to love themselves. And this one really hit home for me. That we are the inspirers. We are the examples. we are not self-sacrificers. That's martyr. And that sets us up for a whole different dynamic. We need to be the greatest example we can be. Does that bleed into our families? Yes. Energetically, it impacts everyone in our sphere. I heard you go silent, Veronica.
I'm thinking.
I know you are. Did you want to make a comment on that?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking back on my self-esteem issues and how it perpetrated, if you want to put it that way, on my daughter now that she's in her 20s. Can't that be changed? It can still be worked, can't it? You know, as you pick up on your awareness and self-esteem.
How good are you to you?
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll talk about that next week. I told you, since the power retrieval with my dad, I'm really conscious of that.
Exactly.
Thank you for that.
Well, it's so easy to, and as you talk to people every day, and I have people that are who I consider to be very advanced souls, although they are not metaphysically studying all the time and so on, and yet they also are very much in the physical, very much in the physical. And these are people who love me and keep me very grounded.
That's a good thing.
Yes, and they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, I'll bring up a subject and they're like, well, no, I mean, because they see it from the physical perspective, from the collective perspective, which is more accurate. And so it's a great place for me to kind of take the temperature of humans and see how the collective is really viewing things. And we're going to see a lot happening out in our world. And we're going to see things happen that are going to be difficult, just like we did just, you know, in Peru, like we're seeing in Iraq, like we're seeing in a lot of places. We're getting close to 9/11, and when 9/11 happened, I was called by actually my Chevron rep first thing in the morning, who said, I think it's going to happen every hour. Jackie, do what you do. And I called a couple of friends who got to the house immediately, and immediately we started working with people who had died, helping them cross over and holding the highest resonance. I refused to watch it on television after that. And people were caught up in the drama of that experience so dramatically, and I felt that that was not helping anyone. And I think that this is also a case in point. Now, when it comes to family and people that we love and are in love with, I've done every form of emotional codependence, so I'm probably the best one to speak on this.
I don't think I'm any slouch. We have to go now, Jackie.
Okay. Veronica, give your website, darling.
VeronicaAntwistle.com, and there's no H in Entwistle, and my show is Radiance by Design next Tuesday at 4 p.m. on BBS.
All right. And everyone, we love you. We thank you for your emails, for listening tonight and every week. A piece of me is in every one of you, and a piece of you is in me. There is no other way. We are all one. When we join in together like this, we are an incredible exponential power to make change and shift. Thank you all. Have a blessed week. Our love to you. My love to you, Ronnie. You know I adore you.
And many blessings, and I love you too.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.